And the Angels Were Silent by Max Lucado. Chapter 9, Courage to Dream Again. If you have faith, it will happen. Matthew 21:21. Hans Bablinger of Ulm, Germany, wanted to fly. He wanted to break the bond of gravity. He wanted to soar like a bird. Problem. He lived in the 16th century. There were no planes, no helicopters, no flying machines. He was a dreamer born too soon. What he wanted was impossible. Hans Bablinger, however, made a career out of helping people overcome the impossible. He made artificial limbs. In his day, amputation was a common cure for disease and injury, so he kept busy. His task was to help the handicapped overcome circumstance. Bablinger longed to do the same for himself. With time, he used his skills to construct a set of wings. The day soon came to try them out, and he tested his wings in the foothills of the Bavarian Alps. Good choice. Lucky choice. Up currents are common in the region. On a memorable day, with friends watching and sun shining, he jumped off an embankment and soared safely down. His heart raced, his friends applauded, and God rejoiced. How do I know God rejoiced? Because God always rejoices when we dare to dream. In fact, we are much like God when we dream. The Master exults in newness. He delights in stretching the old. He wrote the book on making the impossible possible. Examples? Check the book. 80-year-old shepherds don't usually play chicken with pharaohs. But don't tell that to Moses. Teenage shepherds don't normally have showdowns with giants. But don't tell that to David. Night shift shepherds don't usually get to hear angels sing and see God in a stable. But don't tell that to the Bethlehem bunch. And for sure, don't tell that to God. He's made an eternity out of making the earthbound airborne. And he gets angry when people's wings are clipped. Such is the message of the fig tree drama, a peculiar scene involving a fruitless fig tree and a mountain in the ocean. Jesus and his disciples walk to Jerusalem on Monday morning after spending the night in Bethany. He was hungry and saw a fig tree on the side of the road. As he approached the tree, he noticed that though it had leaves, it had no fruit. Something about a tree with no fruit reminded him of what he saw in the temple on Sunday and what he was going to do in the temple later that day. So he denounced the tree, "You will never again have fruit." The tree immediately dried up. The next day, Tuesday, the disciples see what has happened to the tree. They are amazed. Just 24 hours before, the tree had been green and healthy. Now it was barren and dry. "How did the fig tree dry up so quickly?" they ask. Jesus gives them this answer. "I tell you the truth. If you have faith and do not doubt, you will be able to do what I did to this tree and even more. You will be able to say to this mountain, 'Go, fall into the sea.' And if you have faith, it will happen. If you believe, you will get anything you ask for in prayer." You won't find the words dream or fly or wing in the story. But look closely, and you'll see a story of a God who issues a call for the Bablingers of the world to mount the cliff and test their wings. You'll also see a God who scorns those who put dreamers in a cage and pocket the key. Jesus, hungry and on his way to Jerusalem, stops to see if a fig tree has figs. It doesn't. It has the appearance of nutrition, but offers nothing. It's all promise and no performance. The symbolism is too precise for Jesus to ignore. He does to the tree on Monday morning what he will do to the temple on Monday afternoon. He curses it. No, he's not angry at the tree. He's angry at what the tree represents. Jesus is disgusted by lukewarm, placid, vain believers who have pomp but no purpose. They have no fruit. This simple act slams the guillotine on the neck of empty religion. Want a graphic example of this? Consider the Laodicean church. This church was wealthy and self-sufficient, but the church had a problem: hollow, fruitless faith. "I know what you do," God spoke to this group, "that you are not hot or cold. I wish that you were hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am ready to spit you out of my mouth." The literal translation is to vomit. Why does the body vomit something? Why does it recoil violently at the presence of certain substances? Because they are incompatible with the body. Vomiting is the body's way of rejecting anything it cannot handle. What's the point? God can't stomach lukewarm faith. He is angered by a religion that puts on a show but ignores the service. And that is precisely the religion he was facing during his last week, and the religion he had faced his entire ministry. When he served, they complained. They complained that his disciples ate on the wrong day. They complained that he healed on the wrong day. They complained that he forgave the wrong people. They complained that he hung out with the wrong crowd and had the wrong influence on the children. But still worse, every time he tried to set people free, the religious leaders attempted to tie them down. Those closest to the temple were quickest with the shackles. When a courageous soul tried to fly, they were there to say it couldn't be done. By the way, they told Hans Bablinger the same thing. Seems the king was coming to Ulm, and the bishop and the citizens wanted to impress him. Word had gotten out about Hans's flying feet, so they asked him to do a loop for the king. Hans consented. They wanted one change, however. Since the crowd would be large and the hills were difficult to climb, could Hans choose a place in the lowlands in which he could fly? Hans chose the bluffs near the Danube. They were broad and flat, and the river was a good distance below. He would jump off the edge and float down to the water. Poor choice. The updraft in the hills was non-existent near the river. So in front of the king, his court, and half the village, Hans jumped and fell like a rock straight into the river. The king was disappointed and the bishop mortified. Guess what the bishop preached the next Sunday? Man was not meant to fly. Hans believed him. Imprisoned by a pulpit, he put his wings away and never again tried to fly. He died soon after, gripped by gravity, buried with his dreams. The Cathedral of Ulm isn't the first church to cage a flyer. Through the years, pulpits have grown proficient in telling people what they can't do. They did it in the day of Christ. They did it in the day of Hans Bablinger. And they do it today. And you can be sure it is just as nauseating to God today as it was then. But as we are looking at religion, we would do well to look in the mirror. You see, it is convenient to point fingers at organized religion and say, "Amen, tell them like it is." It's comfortable to do that, but inadequate. While we are talking about setting people free to fly, think about yourself. How are you at giving wings? How have you been at setting people free? That friend who offended you and needs your forgiveness? The coworker burdened with fear of the grave? The relative who carries the sack of yesterday's failures? Your friend weighed down by anxiety? Tell them about the empty tomb and watch them fly. A Hispanic member of our church married recently. She is a precious sister with a robust faith. When the time came, the minister asked, "Can you repeat the vows?" To which she answered with all sincerity, "Yes, I can, but it will be with an accent." That is the way God intended it. He intends for all of us to live out our vows, but with our own particular accent. For some, it is with an accent on the sick. For others, it is a concern for the imprisoned. Still others have a burden for scholarly research or giving. But whatever our accent, the message is still the same. The message of the fig tree is not for all of us to have the same fruit. The message is for us to have some fruit. Not easy. Jesus knows that. If you have faith and do not doubt, you will be able to do what I did to this tree and even more. Faith in whom? Religion? Hardly. Religion is the hoax Jesus is out to disclose. In fact, when Jesus said, "You will be able to say to this mountain, 'Go, fall into the sea,'" he was probably looking up to the Kidron Valley to the Temple Mount, the temple known to many as Mount Zion. If that is the case, you have reason to smile as Jesus tells you what to do with the church that tries to cage your flight. Tell it to jump into the lake. No, the faith is not in religion. The faith is in God. A hearty, daring faith which believes God will do what is right every time, and what God will do what it takes, whatever it takes, to bring his children home. He is the shepherd in search of his lamb. His legs are scratched, his feet are sore, and his eyes are burning. He scales the cliffs and traverses the fields. He explores the caves. He cups his hand to his mouth and calls into the canyon. And the name he calls is yours. He is the housewife in search of the lost coin. No matter that he has 9 others, he won't rest until he has found the 10th. He searches the house, he moves the furniture, he pulls up rugs, he cleans out shelves, he stays up late, he gets up early. All other tasks can wait, only one matters. The coin is of great value to him. He owns it. He will not stop until he finds it. The coin he seeks is you. God is the Father pacing the porch. His eyes are wide with his quest, his heart is heavy. He seeks his prodigal. He searches the horizon. He examines the skyline, yearning for the familiar figure and recognizable gait. His concern is not on his business, his investments, his ownings. His concern is the son who wears his name, the child who bears his image. You. He wants you home. It is only in light of such passion that we can understand this incredible promise. If you believe, you will get anything you ask for in prayer. Don't reduce this grand statement to the category of new cars and paychecks. Don't limit the promise of this passage to the selfish pool of perks and favors. The fruit God assures is far greater than earthly wealth. His dreams are much greater than promotions and proposals. God wants you to fly. He wants you to fly free of yesterday's guilt. He wants you to fly free of today's fears. He wants you to fly free of tomorrow's grave. Sin, fear, and death. These are the mountains he has moved. These are the prayers he will answer. That is the fruit he will grant. This is what he longs to do. He longs to set you free so you can fly. Fly home. One final word about the church in Ulm. It's empty. Now most of its visitors are tourists. And how do most of the tourists travel to Ulm? They fly.